Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there, Richard Herring here with another bonus Rahalastapa recorded at the Sheffield City Hall just a week or so ago, this time with Sean Walsh. It's a doozy. It's really worth listening to. I think you're going to have an interesting time. Talks very honestly and openly about quite a difficult year for him of his own making, let's face it. Anyway, if you like these podcasts, why not become a monthly badger? You get all kinds of bonuses for your £3 a month, which include a badge, 2 badges, in fact, a lovely wallet with a membership card with a secret code and emergency questions and all sorts of stuff in there, access to backstage videos, stand-up shows, other little extras we're putting out in there as well that won't be visible anywhere else. Also a advance warning of what the guests will be in upcoming shows. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out about those. I've got gigs coming Birmingham, London and Norwich at the moment in 2020, so do come and see those if you can. And lots more stuff as well. And also your £3 a month goes to making more podcasts. At the moment we're releasing 8 podcasts a month. That's pretty cheap, isn't it? £3. It's not as cheap as free. That's what I say. Why not just keep listening for free? You can also get ad-free podcasts on a download from there as well if you don't like the adverts in this podcast. But let's sit back. Go to richherring.com/gigs, Richard Herring. Oh, go to gofasterstripe.com/badges, in fact, to find out about that. But go to richherring.com/gigs to find out about the gigs. You know how this works. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahalastapa with Sean Walsh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheffield City Hall. Please welcome a man who's wearing the same shirt as last week, but that's possible, right? Because you could have had it washed. It's a week. It's been a week. Please welcome Richard Herring.
Hello! Hello, Sheffield! Oh, hi!
Yeah, no, you're as good as last week's audience. I thought you weren't going to be as good, but you're as good. Welcome! equally good, almost exactly the same. Please welcome, oh, I'm here. Welcome to Richard Herring's Laminated Steel Transformers podcast. They love steel here. Thought I'd change tack a bit, do a new podcast about laminated steel transformers, because a laminated steel transformer core can carry a magnetic flux 1,500 times better than air. Don't need to tell you guys about that. It's laminated to reduce the interference with the efficient transfer of energy from the primary coil to the second one. I don't know why I'm telling you this. It's like taking coals to Newcastle, literally. But I was hanging out in Division Street earlier on, and Jarvis Cocker fell out of a window, pretending to be Spider-Man. As he fell, he said he calls it Relistopus. I don't know if that's going to... Oh, I've done my research. I know everything about you. And I've got some cutting-edge observational comedy for you now from my week. Why did the singer of Saved by the Bell theme tune not set his alarm clock to go off earlier? That's what I want to know. That's what's been bothering me this week. I woke up in the morning, the alarm rang out warning, I don't think I'm going to make it on time. Set your alarm a bit earlier, mate. That's stupid. That's what the alarm's there for. Might have been on snooze, but I don't think so. Yep, nailed that. Take that, fucking... Take that, Saved by the Bell. Talking of features this morning, we were watching Postman Pat, and my daughter was singing... My daughter's nearly five, and I was singing stupid words to the theme tune, I think, but she went... she said, Postman Pat. Everybody knows he smells of walnuts. So it was brilliant. And then it was just, he's a really naughty man, is what she said at the end, over and over again. I think you might be Noel Fielding's daughter, don't you? That doesn't sound like my kid. So, my guest this week is probably best known for, I would say, a disputable Wikipedia entry saying he's a suspected arsonist in The Bill. He also played Jesus of Nazareth in Little Crackers. That's why we're here. We want to hear all about that and nothing else. There's nothing else of interest to talk to him about. Will you please welcome the amazing Sean Walsh, ladies and gentlemen? Sean Walsh. Welcome. There's a microphone.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Was that The Bill?
The Bill. Is that not... That's on your Wikipedia page, but not on the IMDb page. And I'm not sure The Bill was going in 2007.
No, I wasn't in The Bill.
You weren't in The Bill.
I also wasn't in Family.
Little Crackers.
Little Crackers was real.
Yeah, Little Crackers, yeah. What else weren't you in? This will take a long time.
the Wikipedia also says that I'm in Family Guy.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might have been taken off. I didn't notice that.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't spot it. Oh, well, you know, maybe one day you'll be in Family Guy.
Yeah.
What was Little Crackers? You were Jesus in Little Crackers.
That was a...
With Caroline Quentin?
Yes.
Had you done something else with her? Was that why were you doing something else with Caroline, or was that it?
I did a sitcom called...
Yeah?
Big Bad World.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
I forgot. yes, and she was in that, and then I met her on that, and then she asked me to be Jesus.
Oh.
Yes.
She's nice, isn't she? We've had her on the podcast.
She's been on this?
She's been on this podcast, yeah. She's lovely.
She's great.
Yeah, nice. Ooh. She's got weird powers with electricity. Doesn't like to be complimented. Cool. So, look.
Yes. Right.
I'm just working out what to talk to you about.
Yes.
So.
Right. What?
You grew up in Brighton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Brighton.
You weren't born in. You were born in Lewisham.
Lewisham. Mm. How much research have you...
Loads of research.
It must be awful.
It is awful. Yeah. Some of this has generally been upsetting.
I'm just thinking, coming up here, that poor man. Oh, my God. So Lewisham to Brighton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what got you into comedy? Because you start... Did you mention me in your show? I saw a review of your show where you mentioned... Because we did Argumental
yes,
together.
Yes, we did.
And you were the team captain.
I dropped this
bit. Did you?
Bit.
Yeah, because I saw in a review, and I can't... Did I say something like...
Do you know what you said?
I don't know what I said, because it was only a joke, whatever yes, it was.
No, I know no, what it was.
Yeah.
And I actually dropped it because I thought, I think this might be sort of vilifying you.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what happened, which is why I dropped it. But there's this bit in the show where, the last show that I did, where I say, so why do Strictly Come Dancing? And then I go through my childhood when I first wanted to be a comedian, and then the sort of whole way through my career, which is, to my mind, been a sort of series of failures and things that didn't go very well. And I sort of give an example of like each show and how badly it went. And Argumental was this show on Dave, right? And it was the first episode of this series, and you were on my team. And before I'd said a word, so I'm already really nervous, right?
Yeah.
Before I said a word, you just went, who the fuck is that? to me, and I just like, oh my God. And so what would happen in the tour for the show, sometimes they would laugh,
yeah.
and then sometimes they would sort of go, oh, as if, yeah, you were being mean. And then how I softened it,
yeah,
and got it to work every time was I realised I needed to let them know that I was okay with that. So I just added, which is funny, but not what I needed. And that allowed that allowed them to laugh at you and not realise you were being a cunt.
I'm sorry. It was a joke. You know, from my perspective, like, weird, because I don't get to do many of those things. I'm also aware that most people know who I was on those things. But I think, like, it was, you had quite a rapid rise to success, I think, really. You know, you started in 2006 and that was 2010. So you were a team captain on something pretty quick.
It was too soon.
Well, maybe, but also, from my point of view, I assume, oh, this guy's doing well. He's super confident. He can take this. You know, I'm not.
Yes.
I didn't think it would. I would hate to think. I thought, oh my God, I hope I didn't really.
No, absolutely not. And I know you were joking. And it was funny. I'm glad we've made up.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know there was a problem. I read the review. I'd forgotten all about it. I'd kind of forgotten I'd done the show. But it was that you had this. So you were winning. You started in stand-up in 2006 and you won a few new act competitions quite quickly.
Yes.
And then you sort of got fast-tracked by, I guess you got a manager and then they kind of put you forward to things and...
Yes.
And in that way, I think, like, TV people are looking for kind of the hot young guy, the new talent and, you know, guy or girl. And you were sort of in your 20s.
Yes.
And looked like a sort of...
Go on.
Cunt? No, that was... Pop star. Popstar.
You meant cunt. You meant cunt.
But, you know, so you've gave me, I think, you know, we'd met before then, hadn't we? Because I bumped into you in Shepherd's Bush a few times and stuff like that.
We did a gig in Leicester and you kindly drove me home and you told me something that I've thought about every time I've been in a hotel since.
Okay.
Which is you started paying for better hotels.
Yes.
Because of that experience you had at a cheaper hotel, maybe a travel lodge or something,
yeah,
where you used the shower and there was still snot on the curtain.
Yeah, I mentioned that a lot on this podcast. It's haunted my life. Yeah, and it's worth spending another 20 quid
to
stay somewhere where you'll sleep soundly and not worry about bogeys.
Yes, exactly.
Or being broke. I stayed in a hotel, like it was barely a hotel, in Lincoln once, where my car had broken down, so I had to stay. And it was like I was Jesus, you know, myself, like you were.
Yeah.
And there was no room in any inn, and I ended up staying in a hostel kind of place where the door had recently been kicked in the lock had been replaced, but the hole was still there. It cost £15, including breakfast. And it wasn't that long ago. We're not going back to the 1960s. It was recent. So that was. I didn't really sleep that night with the sound of swearing, furious men.
I in the did horrors. Cardiff Glee, which is a chain of comedy clubs, recently, and they put you in a hotel now. They've sort of downsized. It's called the citrus, and I could hear the comedian in the next room. I could hear every time she had a piss. Lovely.
That is all right.
Yeah.
I was once in the dressing room next to Eternal at Top of the Pops when I presented Top of the Pops. Yeah, I presented Top of the Pops. And I heard one of the girls from Eternal doing a piss while practicing their song. And I stayed and listened because it was beautiful. The song was good. I don't know which one it was. I don't think it was. What's that? There's the one who left.
Louise Redknapp.
Yeah, Louise Redknapp.
Yeah. Do you still look out for the snot?
Do I still look out for snot?
Because that's what I do. When I'm I get very paranoid that there'll be snot on the curtain, so I look out for it every time.
I don't, because now I stay in nice hotels. Although in the hotel I went today, I noticed there was like hair in the bath, you know, which is fine. It's sort of, I was thinking about being the kind of person who would ring down, there's two hairs in my bath, can you send someone up to... I thought it might be worth being that kind of person just to see what service you got for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Rather than just turning the tap on and I'm not going to have a bath anyway, so it's fine.
Pubic hair?
I mean, the hair, you know, I didn't really go in forensically into microscopically and touch it. I didn't touch it.
No.
Somebody else's hair was in my bath.
The first thing I'd think is that a pube or not?
I didn't think of that.
You didn't.
How would you react differently if it was? Would you be happy? It was a hooray, happy Christmas. I've got some pubic hair of a stranger. Can weave it into my merkin.
If it was a pube, I wouldn't have the shower.
Yeah. But there's a separate shower, so I can just ignore the bath altogether.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore the bath altogether. I just thought it'd be funny to ring down and say, excuse me, can you send somebody up to clean my bath? I didn't do it because I'm not a prick. But I just thought it'd be really prickish to do it and funny to do it. Some people would do it though, right? Because you go, I'm paying whatever I'm paying to stay.
Have you heard that story? Have you heard that hotel story that went around the circuit? It's quite legendary. You might know this. Stop me if you heard this.
Well, they probably haven't heard it, so we can tell
them. Oh, yeah, sorry. I genuinely forgot you were there. But a comedian, I think it was in Dubai, and he used the toilet in his room, number two, and it wouldn't flush. And he calls down to reception just to say, look, like my toilet's not. Do you know this?
No.
My toilet's not flushing. And they couldn't understand English. So he has to go down embarrassingly and sort of say, look, sorry, toilet flush not it's not working, still not really quite understand, and they sort of gesture, can you go and show us the problem. And so he takes this woman up to the toilet and he points at the poo and he flushes it and it works.
Good.
You've not heard that.
I think it rings a bell. Wasn't me. I've never performed in Dubai. It's good. So anyway, you got this sort of fire, so in the show you're talking about this in your latest show, which obviously covers some other things, which we might get on to. We might not have time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna build up to it. I'm gonna jump in straight away. It's going to leave him thinking, oh, he's not going to mention it. He's not going to mention it. It's over. Moved on.
Fucking hell.
I'm going to be very sympathetic when we get to the actual bit.
Yes, yes.
But up until then, I'm going to make you squirm a bit. But it's the weird thing, I think, when someone's good and clearly talented and gets spotted very early on and then thrown in the deep end a little bit in terms of getting opportunities. So that show, your view on it in the show is that you did these things that didn't hit.
Yes, I felt that. I felt that I wasn't ready and that I was too... I just wasn't. I mean, Argumental, for example, it wasn't stand up. I could do stand up as I was doing it. I think my first two Edinburgh shows were really poor. Right. They were bad, and I knew they were bad. And maybe if I had saved, maybe if I'd left it a year and the two shows were one show, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I was still learning.
Well, but you are still learning. I think that's
absolutely. You're always learning. But I didn't know enough, and I was doing too much, and I felt like I'd sort of, been exposed.
Well, Argumental, I think you're exactly right. You know, I did that show a few times. Like there was a few previous series before you did it as well.
Yes.
And I've done it a few times, and it's really difficult because you basically having to write a new 5-minute routine and argue something at the same time. And if you're a team captain, you've got to do that over and over again for lots of different shows.
Yes, and all I was really doing at the time, stand-up-wise, was just, I don't know, you know, talking about not waking up before 4 p.m. It was that.
Yeah.
That was really all I had.
Yeah.
And then I had to go and make an argument about, I don't know, global warming. And yeah. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I actually had a panic attack during, there's an episode with Joe Brand, and I have a panic attack during reading the auto cue,
right?
Because I'm dying on my ass so badly. I think it's the first time I drank alone was during that series, because I was so stressed that I would go back to the hotel and drink red wine because I couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
it was fucking horrible.
I mean, it's weird because nobody really thinks about that, and I don't really think. And I know how stressful it is. I know how difficult it is.
Yes.
You know, when I started, we were discovered pretty quickly and got onto TV pretty quickly and probably a bit too quickly. And I know how miserable I was through those 10 years and how difficult it was, and, you know, and how much you're thinking, tomorrow it's going to end and that'll be it, whenever, you know. So it's, yeah. I mean, you are quite a drinker anyway, I think, right? It's fair to, there's a lot of your stuff is about drinking, right?
There was one Edinburgh show that came later that was purely about sort of going out. And because I was doing this show called Stand Up for the Week on Channel 4. And then outside of that sort of took up the week. And then outside of that, I was in my mid-20s, so I was going out. And really the only thing, Edinburgh was coming up, and the only thing I could talk about was the drinking, because that was the only thing I was doing outside of work.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened, and I regretted that because I got labelled with it,
yeah.
And I couldn't. But I would do show like you know be the four shows on, and people would still be sort of. I would do a show and not mention alcohol, but it would still
right.
be in the review that I was. It was about booze, and I don't even mention it. It was strange. I couldn't get rid of it.
You did you were watching a series where you did short films about called The Drunk, right? Was that right? Was it called The Drunk?
I made a silent comedy called The Drunk.
Yeah. So that probably added to that.
That didn't help. Yeah, yes. Yes, you're right. There was that as well. Yes.
No, it's good. It's kind of
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah. So it's sort of slapsticky.
Yeah, I wanted to do a silent comedy, and I thought the way to justify the sort of slapstick would just be if the character was drunk.
Yeah.
That was it. Really.
It's good. You were good, though. You were good at acting drunk. Or were you drunk during it?
I was acting drunk.
Okay. Good.
I've never had a drink before a gig.
Have you not? No. Good. Okay. Don't do it.
No. I thought, do you?
I used to, but I've actually stopped drinking at the moment. I'm just debating whether I'm going to go back to drinking.
Have you done a show drunk? Have you ever
I mean, me and Stu used to drink in the second half. So we'd drink from the interval onwards and we'd have a drink in the second half. And there used to be at the Frog and Bucket, Jason Cook used to do a drink, a late night thing that was that you got drunk and then they gave you shots during your set as well. I can't really remember much about it, but I remember being like really rude to people in the audience, but them liking it. And I remember I improvised something about Judas that I can't quite remember, but it went down brilliantly. Like it was like a brilliant, you know, flight of fancy through alcohol. But it's not a good idea to do.
Yeah.
Because also, like, if the audience know that that's the the gimmick, then it's sort of a bit different because they're going, okay, this guy's being pretty horrible to this overweight woman in the audience. That seems a bit off. But if they go, oh, yeah, but he's overweight and drunk himself, this is okay. We knew what we signed up for. So it's not, you know, because you want to stay sharp as a comic, and you need to be, especially if you're doing stand-up, I think, especially doing stand-up in clubs. And you have your audience. I've done this drunk.
With who?
Well, I used to be sponsored by a beer company, and I'd have two beers, and it was quite strong beer, but just the adrenaline of doing this show with a couple of beers is too much.
Oh.
So, and I've had very drunk people over there. Some of them have not been seen on. Some of them are too drunk to show, but some of them have gone through.
That's really nice of you to not post them.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I'm not trying to make people uncomfortable or look bad. Only if they deserve it. Yeah. So it's only if they deserve it. I think this could be the thing that turns it around for you. People are really... The sympathy is really shifting. Oh, that Richard Herring's horrible. Why has it been so nasty? No, well, look, you did a show called Strictly Come Dancing. How did that work out for you? Because it's a risk, isn't it, doing... it's always a risk doing a show like you never know what's... how it's going to go.
Well, on Saturday, I was playing Pontins.
Right.
So it worked out great.
Yeah, it worked out great. So did you go into Strictly? Because it is, but like, seriously, it is regardless of anything else, it's a risk to go into a show like that, right? Because it's prime time. I've sort of read you saying you felt like it was your last shot at making up for the things that hadn't
worked. That was in the show. That was the sort of joke, as I go through all the sort of errors of the career and then the punchline.
Sure.
And this was my one last chance to not fuck it up.
But it is, you know, when any of those reality shows, I mean, it's not quite a reality show, but... turned out to be, but it's you know, you're putting yourself out there, and anything can happen, and you know, someone like the celebrity, I'm a celebrity, people could love you or they could not love you, and as a comedian deciding to do like a dance contest, that's quite a risky endeavor.
I didn't think it was
okay.
I felt like there was no, I wasn't really sort of doing much,
right?
You know, and I thought, you'll get to learn how to dance. Yeah. That'll be fun. I actually wanted to do that. I thought that I wished I'd gone to drama school. I thought that would be, you know, the performance element of it, which I loved. And then, you know, I didn't know too much about it, but it didn't seem as if it was completely about the personalities of people.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay in if you're any good at it.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, I thought, give it a go. What could possibly go wrong? yes, that was it.
And you were good, man. You did well.
The first 3 weeks, it was, and it was, you know, I say this on the show, it was the best 3 weeks of my life. I was having the time of my life. It seemed... we did the Paso Doble and that went down really well and I really enjoyed it. It was the Matrix. I got to be like Keanu Reeves and backflip through the air and people seemed but it was going well.
Yeah.
Like I tried to stay away from social media, but when I did look, it seemed to be going well and I was excited about the future.
Yeah.
And then it all went very... very wrong.
Yeah. But in the, you know, it's sort of... all joking aside, it makes me kind of angry about it as well, right? Because, you didn't behave in a good fashion, but everyone's... there isn't a person criticising you who won't have done something along those lines, right? Who won't have kissed someone when they're drunk or won't have actually cheated on someone they're with. Everyone's done something like that in their life. I just don't believe that, you know... if maybe my mum and dad haven't, but they weren't very critical of you.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I just think there's this sort of stupid double standards. It's a stupid thing. It's a, like, you know, I watched the video, the Sun video, where they caught you.
Yes.
And you kind of go, well, what the fuck's going on there? Who the fuck is filming these people down at sort of from some toilets or something? It's like down a little alleyway.
It was an alley and there was some building work. Actually, it was just a street, but there was some building work going over the pavement that created an alley.
So it's like a grotty thing for them to be doing. So there's grottiness everywhere involved in it. But it's just that kind of... I understand, like, in the heat of the moment, why people kind of go, oh, I'm really invested in this show and these people have done something and it's upset me, and, you know. But it's also fucking hell, you know. It's a human thing to happen, right?
Yes, I mean, obviously I knew this was going to come up, but I didn't want to prepare anything.
Yeah.
So I've not sort of thought it through. I mean, it's quite difficult to... So I would say that... You know, no one wants to hear me sort of stick up for myself, but I wish I'd stuck up for myself more. And I think I've served my time. You know, so it's been a tough year, like mentally, and I lost a lot out of it. You know, personally, but also, you know, job wise, I lost a lot of opportunities. And you know, I think I probably did go through. What I went through, I don't mind saying that it wasn't fair. Now, what I did wasn't right.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I understand that. But I did not deserve, you know, and it wasn't just a tabloid thing.
No.
It was in the broadsheets as well. And it was online. I look back, don't really know what I could have done differently. I had to just take it. And it was too much. I couldn't. It's still the fact. It's still.
Yeah, sure.
By the way, it's still. You know, I wake up some days and I feel okay, and some days I wake up and it feels like it happened yesterday, and it's really, it's fucking traumatic.
Yeah.
I still have all the, and I'm not. I'm very conscious of going, God, do I look like I'm looking for sympathy and all that? I don't want to. These are just the facts.
Well, I think it's exactly that, right? You've fucked, and no one's going to say, yeah, well done, that was great. It was a
yes.
fuck up. It was a fuck up, but then that shouldn't, you know, it'd be interesting to see if you can ever completely leave it behind, you know what I mean? There's always going to be that there, and it's just a mistake that someone's made, and you get this, these days you get this punishment that is, and because it's so public, obviously, and write in the paper and everyone's favourite TV show, it's obviously like a much bigger thing. But the actual thing you've done is just a human, drunken bit of stupidity for both people involved in, you know, in what you did. And it's just a kiss, you know, someone you kiss someone.
Yes.
It's not the fucking worst, you know, you have to look at the Prime Minister and the President of the United States, who seem to have done some worse things than that and are allowed to carry on with their lives.
Yes, it was bizarre. It was just, I tell you what was strange, which I have mentioned, I think, recently on something perhaps. But it was strange that your identity and your character not belonging to you anymore. I mean, does your character really belong to you? You know, no, people have their opinions on you. But it was just being constructed by tabloids and, as I say, and the broadsheets as well. And I was being sort of demonised, and it was so strange.
Yeah.
And all the hatred that would be chucked your way online and on the comments pieces and stuff like that. That was weird, sort of losing that. Control of who you are was just taken away, and it does affect me. You know, in London, you're on the tube, and I'll see someone recognise me, and you just get so paranoid of what their idea of you is. Which bit have they read? Do they care? And you're sort of living paranoia and fear. Not all that. Sometimes I forget, but sometimes it just comes back. It's very strange, because before I was always quite self-conscious about, you know, being out in public. And I don't know if you have this, sometimes someone, you know, catches your eye and you think they recognise me. I'm very paranoid. I sort of go, oh, they don't like me. They don't think I'm funny. Oh, God. And that's normally what goes, do you have that? Do you care?
Well,
they don't like me. Fuck.
I don't think I'm that paranoid about it. I just sort of assume that nobody knows who I am. And occasionally I'm sort of surprised when they do. I think, yes. Because, I think, but you know, it's sort of a weird thing because I'm sort of under the radar a bit. So people who recognise me generally quite like me. Like when we were on TV.
I do know what you mean.
You know, but it's yes. So like most people don't, and if you don't know, you know, most people don't know who I am. So I absolutely can live my life and once a week someone will go, hey, I really like your podcast, or I like that thing you used to do, or I'm listening to you right now on my podcast and you make this weird. But
lovely.
You know, but that's nice if it's very once a week, you know. So like I can live my life and I'm not, but like, so right, when we were on TV, there was one time when, you know, and you're thinking, oh, this is exciting, like 2 million people. Not many people in that time, but 2 million people is quite a lot of people watching the show.
Amazing.
And I remember one time I was walking down central London and some guy went, it's that guy off the telly, let's get him. And it was a group of guys. And then you go, fuck, okay. And then all I could do was I just kept walking and hoped they weren't going to get me. But I thought, you know, they might, you know, if they come to get me, they're going to get me. I'm not going to run away. So they didn't come and get me. They were just dicking around. But, you know, you saw that was 1995. So there was no internet. There was no way of people getting in touch. People would write to the BBC if they didn't like you, you know, which was, so you'd get 10 letters a week going, how is this show on TV? You know, and the BBC would, you know, you would laugh and you'd all just laugh and you'd print them up and give them to each other and, you know, and laugh at how stupid it was that people were upset by the stupid thing you'd done. So it didn't get you in that way. So I think with social media now, the access is so immediate. People have a knee-jerk reaction. They see someone's down or they see someone's done something wrong. And it's just a deflection. It's like, that's what gets it. It's everyone else going, oh, fuck, there's this other guy who's fucked up. If I go at him, no one's going to notice all the times I fucked up. I just don't believe that, you know, let's say 75% of people will have done something along the lines of what you've done, either kissed someone they shouldn't have kissed, been with someone when they in a relationship or the other person's in a relationship. They haven't been caught on film. You know, I mean, you were drunk, I guess, and you were dumb and you should have realised that people might be following you around.
Oh, well,
but,
of course.
But, you know, that's what's even more, that's why it makes it even more gauche and it's just that this is clearly a moment that you just had where it was something, it just got out of hand. So, like, that could easily have not been caught on camera and no one would have known about it and who knows what would have happened, but maybe nothing.
Yes?
Yeah. Maybe something. And also, I just feel like, you know, from the stories I hear about Strictly, there's quite a lot of stuff like that going on, right? So there's quite a lot of...
Well, I mean, that's public, isn't it? Yeah. Every series...
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't come through as well, right? So there's people in a... You know, you're doing something very intensely with a big focus on you, and it's a very physical thing with another human being. You're going to get close to people, right? And everyone gets very close and very friendly, at least. So this is just, you know, you've gone one step too far in what we've seen. But I just don't think it. You know, I can understand why it's a big deal at the time, and I think it's admirable that you're taking it head on and that you're not going to go. You know, some people would go, right, that's it. I'll just give up. This is too much. I'm going to give up. But then what'd you do? You know, you can't, you'd have to go and live somewhere else.
Well, I wanted to give up at you know, certain points. And, but I don't really know what else to do.
No.
So I had to just carry on trying to do stand up. And I made it all into a show. And I made it a rule actually, recently, post Edinburgh, to not mention it anymore. Right. And that's really helped me. Yeah. In fact, you know, because people would say, oh, well, I'm doing the show and it's about the 7 days, really. It's an account of the 7 days that followed the photo. And people say, oh, that must be really cathartic. And it was cathartic for the first few goes.
Right.
When it was, you know, when the material was still fresh and I couldn't believe that they were laughing. Because I'd never done a story before and whatnot. So, but then when it got to Edinburgh, and I was doing it every night, and I act out. So what happened? Or one of the things that happened is everything got to me so much that on the Friday, I was put up in this hotel, right? Because the Paps were outside my flat.
Right.
Loads of Paps, and the Paps would run off of my bin bags and stuff like this. So it just wasn't, you know, a good place to be. So we got this, like, a sort of secret location. this hotel that was in Notting Hill, that the Paps, you know, they wouldn't find me there. And on the Friday, I'm sort of feeling okay about things, right? And then I'm in my hotel room, and I turn on Have I Got News For You, and there's just one joke. All it was, what was it? It was Richard Iwode. Oh, that was it, and it was a sight gag. So it's a picture of an empty, a clear diary. And the joke was just that Sean Walsh's diary for the next year, 18 months.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's fine, it got a laugh. But so, that was the... And as I say in the show, I've not done the show in a while, so, but it's a real account, is it was the first point that it occurred to me that I might not be able to do stand-up. That hadn't really occurred to me that week until I heard this joke. And I thought, fuck, is this all over? And I had this sort of panic attack in my hotel. Well, sort of. I had a panic attack. But I was used to having panic attacks from my 20s. So I knew what it was. I just knew, breathe, water. And I went for a walk. And I walked through Notting Hill. And it was Friday. And as I was out, so it was busy, I realised this is the first time I've been out in public since that photo. I've not actually been out in public yet. And I thought, fuck, I didn't know how famous I was in this week. Did everyone know who I was? I started to really freak out. And obviously, I think everyone hates me because I'm, you know, social media and all these articles. So I'm like, fuck, I better get back to the hotel in case someone calls the Paps, then they find out the hotel. So I go back to the traffic lights at Notting Hill Gates. And then I have a panic attack that's so extreme. I've never had a panic attack like this before in my life, where I start screaming and I fall into the road. So I'm in the road in Notting Hill screaming. And all these people gather around. I turn round to try and cover up my face in the road,
yeah,
so that no one can take a selfie. I'm just, you know, I'm having this, and I'm trying to stop screaming, and I can't. I'm sort of out of control. I know what's happening, but I can't stop doing it. These two people pick me up and they put me in their. It was a Tesla. They put me. They went, Sean, we know who you are. We don't think you should be out here like this. Do you mind if me and my wife pick you up and put you in a car? And I'm like, please get me a fucking car. Please get me a car. And they put me in the back of this Tesla.
Yeah.
And they take me back to the hotel. And the next day, I had to do the Charleston in front of 8 million people. So I would act out. That I would tell that story and I would actually act out the panic attack because I thought it would be dramatic.
Yeah.
And obviously it ended with it had a punchline that I didn't want to do now. And but doing that every day in Edinburgh, it fucked me up.
Right.
It really, I was really not enjoying it. It was not cathartic at all. It really was not helping. So when Edinburgh finished, I thought, I've got to stop. I'm just going to try and not mention. So I won't do any opening gag. And if I get heckled, fine, I'll go with it. But, and I'm just talking about Hoovers and Uber, and it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
It's been lovely to for the stage to be a place to escape again.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that show? You know, a lot of comedians will have a show about... a traumatic time in their life, maybe the passing of a relative or something. Have you done that show?
I mean, I've done stuff where I've been through a lot in the shows. I have always found it, I've always found it actually quite useful to work through, like the depressions and it's been breakups and that sort of thing, and going a bit mad and talking about going a bit mad in a comic way. But I've actually found it quite, you know, I found actually doing the show has helped me. You know, therapize myself and make it work in my mind, really. But nobody thinks, you know, I don't think people think of the reaction, right, to whenever anyone's done anything wrong. And like, again, I just think this isn't good, but it's not anywhere near the worst thing that anyone's done. And like, you know, I don't think it should be a career ending thing, which it hopefully is not a career ending thing. It seems it's not a career ending thing, which is good. But I've not been through anything like that, but I just think it's interesting to hear you talk about that from your point of view and to get that the pressure that is put on people who've made mistakes is when it's that many people on one person, you don't think, oh, that, you know, it's you're becoming the the internet, the social media, are having a go at people for bullying or whatever they've done, and then they're bullying the person that, you know, they're being just as bad. So sometimes I just don't like the hypocrisy of it.
You would get a bit piece of abuse on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I would look at the profile, and their profile would be, you know, big supporter of mental health.
Yeah.
The fuck? Just call me a nasally, unfunny cunt and told me to blow my nose. And you're a supporter of mental health.
But, you know, that's it. I mean, we've become hypocrites, and I think we all become hypocrites. Hypocrites would be not to say it. As a comedian, you know, something like this will happen, and you will... You know, you'll know that other comedians will be making jokes about you. And you
well,
know.
I just... The WhatsApp groups, yeah. The amount of WhatsApp messaging there must have been.
Yeah.
Must have. Yeah, you know comedians are going to make jokes, yeah. And that's
but, you
fine.
Know, you don't think about that effect, I think. I think generally people on social media don't think that they're being... they don't understand they're being as bad as whatever they're complaining about. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes the thing that they're complaining about is worse. But I just feel... You know, and I'm not. I'm really not. I'm not defending what you did because I don't think it was the right thing to do. But I also think, look, we've all fucked up in relationships. We've all, you know, someone been following me around with a camera and seen all the things that I've done and the people I've hurt and the times. I mean, I've been hurt as well, you know. But you just think, and I just think, if you think about that yourself, if any person thought about that, they go, oh yeah, I wouldn't really like that moment to be. Put on the front page of the Sun the day after it had happened. You know, it's that's an incredible pressure to put on this person.
My, you know, that's my fault. And, you know, you have to take responsibility. I take responsibility for that. But, you know, what I can't take responsibility for is then where that goes, you know, and how you're sort of demonised. I can't...
But I think it does. You know, it moves on. It moves on to the next thing, and it will be. You know, it will. It's fading, and it will fade out, and then some. You know, well, you've got to do something worse, and then people will forget about this. You could like run over a kid or something.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do if I was in your situation. It would completely go away. But, you know, like, but people, it's sort of weird because something like saying that at fucking Ant McPartlin crashed a car into someone in a family and, you know, and was lost some work out as a result of it, but we've forgiven him, we've moved on. Could have killed a kid, yeah. Couldn't he? That would have been bad, wouldn't it?
Fucking hell. Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
I can give you some advice on worse things to do, is what I'm saying. If you want to... That. But no, it's well. I think it's very interesting to hear that side of it, and I think it's when you're as a comedian, I think you will find a way to get through. I think that's I find that interesting that I think that the show got to you as well, and that it's such a thing to work through. You're not gonna. You've been to therapy, right? You've been in therapy.
Of course, in therapy. Yeah absolutely. You have to. You can't go through that.
Yeah.
And not sort of get help. It's
yeah,
fucking mental. Yeah.
But you know, it's a yeah.
The show was good though. I mean, it's not like obviously it all didn't happen, but I was proud of the work, and I think it got a couple of good reviews, but the audiences seemed to like it on the night. I don't think.
But I think it's about it's a more grown-up show, isn't it? And it's about something.
Yes.
And but that's what I found with my stuff when I've been working through something. People, I think, like to hear really what people like to hear. And what I like to hear from other comedians is that I fucked up. Yeah, I did this because we're all putting on this pretense, and we're all, you know, everyone's got something. Oh, what if that thing comes out about what I said about this person or what I did to this person or, you know, I kissed that person, I did this. Everyone's thinking that. They live their whole lives worrying about some little indiscretion being found out. And so I think to see someone go through it, someone be able to joke about it and maybe turn it into a more positive thing. If it's, you know, if it's helpful to people. But I think I don't know if you've heard this guy called Jesus, but we live in a Christian country apparently. Like fucking forgive people, don't judge people in case you're judged, and you know fucking be forgiving to people. People are sorry. I think if people are sorry, we should. What happens now in the world?
I was very sorry.
But people who aren't sorry get away with it. That's the thing. So people who aren't sorry, Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, not sorry, are allowed to fucking carry on because they haven't. If you go, look, I fucked up. I'm really sorry. Oh, cancelled. Off you go. It's literally that's exactly what's happening. You know, and the people who just go, no, didn't do it. Got it on film. No, well, that's not me. You got you recorded saying that you'd rape women. No. Just that's locker room talk. Fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's...
Where do we go from that?
We can get back from that. This is it. I've interviewed Ricky Wilson. Anything's fucking easy after that, mate.
You've got to release that. You've got to release it. Special edition, Christmas Day.
He's happy for it to go out. Let's ask you an emergency question. That's what they're for. But thank you for sharing that. Look at that. The stress has got to me.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare insurance plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever tried to suck your own cock, Sean Walsh? See, look, that's...
Does everyone get asked
that? Yeah. This could be on the front page of The Sun tomorrow. Man kisses his own penis when he's in a relationship with someone else.
How'd you get on? I can't believe... I don't really remember it, but I think I've. Yeah. I can't believe I'm telling a room.
Yeah, be honest, just going to open up. Be honest.
Yes, I have, and I don't. It didn't work.
It didn't work out.
That's unfortunate. So do they know whether you have or not?
If they go trawl back through, I could just get. I could get the end. I could get to the end.
No.
I haven't tried since I was 14. Yeah. I don't think I can do it now.
Yeah.
Let's try now. That'll be a nice. Shall we give it a go? We're not filming Should this one.
Come on.
Come on.
For the encore, Richard is going to suck his own dick.
Yay! It's got to the fucking stage now where I have to. Once upon a time, one of you lot would have come and done it for me.
Oh, God.
I'll try and find one that isn't about... I've never seen... Honestly, when I was writing this book, you know, there were times when I just had to write something down. I've never seen this question before. It's 725. What is the largest vehicle you've driven? Good question. Let's find out what the answer is. I found out backstage you can't swim. These things come up. What's the largest vehicle you've driven? Can you drive? You can.
No, so it must be a. So it must be a Dodger.
Dutch. The fact you thought of that, that came out. I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about. I should have talked to you about this before. It would have made more sense. But I was watching One for the Road. Is this just a one-off documentary?
Right, yeah.
Because it should be a fucking series.
Right.
Have you gone around the Scotland, the Hebrides and the Shetlands?
Yes.
And you're being filmed doing a tour after you've done the O2 and you've done, this is like from 2016 or something, is it?
We're just
and your sport actor going around doing tiny gigs in Scotland.
Yes, in the Highlands.
It's fucking weird.
Yes.
But it's brilliant.
Oh, good.
And it's really interesting. I just would like to...
Thank you.
Was it all genuinely real?
When I saw that bug and I freaked...
Because there's a bit where he sees a caterpillar on the back. And he fucking freaks out.
I lose it.
There's a caterpillar literally that big. I mean, I might now ask what's the smallest creature that has terrified you to other people. Like, they have to stop the car, get out. The support act who's driving him around in the front. He's been ferried around. It's very honest. And then they go, oh, it's just a caterpillar. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, what has happened is really... This is beyond stupid, is that... I saw this caterpillar, and it really freaked me out.
It was moving in a weird way.
Yes, but I basically forgot about the existence of caterpillars. So can you imagine if you didn't know, and you've never seen a caterpillar, that would freak you out. So then I'm going, Mark goes, it's a caterpillar, and I go, oh yeah, I forgot about those. So stupid. Yes.
It's such a weird thing to choose to... It's a weird thing to do, because why are you touring these little village halls anyway when you're playing the O2 as well? So that's odd.
No, but I wasn't... I've never played the...
You're doing big
bill the O2. Okay. I couldn't fill the O2.
But so why did they decide to film this...
I don't really know.
It's really interesting. But I think it's very honest. It's very like those bits. I thought, is that like you lose your voice?
I do lose my voice.
And then you have to go, but you still have to go to the dance where the gigs are on. It just felt like this is a sketch because like you go, you had to take a ferry to the island where your gig was going to be because that's where your hotel was.
Yeah, even though I wasn't doing a show.
Then you had to walk around this small town. And people going, oh, we can't come and see you. No, I'm not well. Okay. Well, you've turned up to the town, eating chips in the street. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Then you go to Loch Ness. It's brilliant. I honestly want like 6-part series just following you around. You go to Drumnadrochit, and then your sport goes, oh, we're staying in a 5-star hotel. And you go, oh, I don't really like this kind of thing. Why are we staying here? And they get up and they film you going into the thing, and they go, oh, can we have your name? Going, you're not. You're probably looking for the Lodge Hotel. This is the Something Lodge, and you're looking for the Something Lodge Hotel. So you have to go again. It's just like this. These errors.
You've not seen that. Yeah, sorry. It's called One for the Road. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. It's just it's a short documentary following me on the road in the Highlands.
Have you not really doing any gigs? Being scared by caterpillars and eating chips. It's the best thing I've ever seen. Honestly, is there more footage? Because I will edit it together. I'll spend the rest of the year going through it. I mean, did you have a say on what went into it? Because you don't come out
before
that.
Oh, my God. After that, I did say, can we do a series where I'll like do the same in Norway, in Africa? Absolutely not.
Best thing I've seen for a while.
Oh, God. Yeah. But there was a bad review of that said it was a poor rip-off of The Trip. I think they thought it was...
I mean, I just thought, they can't be scripted, but... But also, it can't have happened. So the hinterland, this is somehow neither fact or fiction. It's a new genre.
Oh! Oh, God!
Sorry. It's good. Oh. Yeah. Someone goes to the toilet and says, I've been drinking wine. And go, oh, you don't have to tell me what you're pissing out. It's good, but it's also, you don't see much of, like, that's what a tour's like, right? It's going.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's what. It's going to a place and having to move the chairs around yourself with the support act.
And
being in a hall and no one really know what's coming up and going somewhere. There's a bit where you go, there's nothing going on in this whole island and only 20 people are here. Yeah. Like, people have gone, you can see him or do nothing. And you go, I'll do nothing. But that's what being on tour is like.
Oh, God. Yeah, we had to put out the chairs ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to watch that when I get
back. Walking, you got lost in a river, across a river. You're on tour. You got on a walk and got lost and couldn't get across a river. You'd take your shoes and socks off and wade across. And then you're going, oh, it's cold. You've come across very badly, Sean, in it. It's very bad.
Everything I do. Oh, God.
It's good, though. Dude, it's worth watching. I've told you all the good bits.
Oh. You've told them everything.
I've told them everything.
That's it.
I watched it in the car on the way out.
They listened to the audio book. You've made an audio book of my documentary.
What I should have done, I was watching it in the car, I should have got someone to film me watching it and then put that out as a documentary.
Please.
This is what it's like.
Please.
This is what it's like on the Rahalastama tour.
Please, could you like hound him on Twitter? Please make him do a goggle box of watching my documentary. Force him to. He won't unless you force him to. Please. Will you do that?
Yeah. We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it.
Seven of
do
them. Okay, great. Oh.
And, I haven't talked to you about the extra N. So you spell Sean S-E-A-N-N.
Yes.
After Stiff, the bloke who plays Stifler in American Pie.
Well researched, yes.
Big hero. So
when I was 15,
yeah.
American Pie was my favourite film.
Yeah.
Stifler was my favourite character. Stifler's played by Sean William Scott. Sean William Scott has two N's.
You
the second N is born.
Why stop at two, though?
You're right.
I mean, if it was me, I thought, well, he's done two. Let's see, let's ramp it up, see what happens.
Three ends.
I mean, I'd try three. I wouldn't go jump to five straight away. I'd try three, see how people respond. You go, Sean, that's S-E-A-N-N-N. And S-E-A-N-N-N-N-N.
I'll do it. I'll see if someone... I'll see if anyone notices.
Yeah.
I'll change it.
Yeah. I'll double down. Double down on the ends.
To three ends.
Yeah. Three ends.
Yeah. Okay. It's boring, isn't it, that American Pie, Stifler, and... I think people are expecting something more interesting.
Yeah.
And I think people think that's the
second... I mean, not the American Pie is very good. You're saying the story.
Oh, I love American Pie, yes.
But the follow-ups to the American... The ones that aren't American Pie, some of them aren't as good, though. I've watched all of them.
What, even like American Pie Boot Camp?
Yep. I watched American Pie Boot Camp. I get obsessed with watching...
You watch the spin-offs.
I'm watching at the moment. I'm watching a programme I fucking have just come to hate... And I'm determined to get the end of it. How I Met Your Mother. It's dated so badly. I never saw it at the time. There's 9 fucking series of 22 episodes. I'm on series 5, episode 5. It's the same every week. Doogie Howser MD's in it, and he thinks he's brilliant at comedy. He's fucking shit. His character's awful. His character, like, now would be seen as, you know, if this show should be Me Too'd. He's basically... He's basically trying to just trick women, stupid women, to have sex with him and writing a list of all that. It's incredible. And he overplays everything. He overplays everything. He thinks he's being subtle, but he overplays everything. But I want to get to the end of it.
What?
Because I'm fucking so far in now. What? Think of all the time I've wasted. I've watched five series of it. I can't give up now. It's like Brexit, mate. You've got to fucking see it through it. Just got to get it done.
Get it done. Oven ready. Yeah. Oven ready. How I Met Your Mother.
So I like watching. I watch all of Adam Sandler's films, and I hate most of those.
Not The Wedding Singer.
I'm not interested in his early work. I'm only interested in the stuff subsequent to those early films that were good.
In The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
He kisses Drew Barrymore. They practice her wedding kiss.
Yeah.
Which is a bit inappropriate. They practice that, and Drew Barrymore's sister or cousin in the film says that he was a really good kisser.
Right.
So when I was a teenager, I would watch the kissing scene in The Wedding Singer and then practice trying to copy Adam Sandler's kissing.
I think we might have found a way out of your problem. Retrospective, we can go back now. Go, no, I was just practicing the kiss from the wedding.
I can't. Oh, God.
Imagine if you tried that. No, sorry.
Sorry. I used to try and kiss
like Adam Sandler.
Robbie Hart, played by Adam Sandler.
Wow.
Should we try? Do you want to? No,
I'll give it a go. Oh, no, I'm married. Hold on. Fuck. So, what was I thinking? what was I saying? Yeah, so I've watched all about American Pie. And there's one where it's like it's the next generation where it's Stifler's little brother and they find his book of how to seduce women. Have you seen that one?
Oh, no.
American Pie. I want to say the Book of Love. Any experts of American Pie in? No, literally nobody knows this film apart from me. It's not none of the... I think the eyebrow dad's in it.
Is this the book? Is this the eyebrow dad?
The eyebrow dad's in it.
The eyebrow dad.
That's it. That's the only person that's in it from the American Pie films at
this
all.
This is the book from the first one that teaches...
They find they've hidden the book. There's a book of all the Cunnilingus and everything there, but I think it might be more. I can't remember the whole details of it. I can't believe I've remembered that I watched it. But I've watched every American Pie film available, and none of them are as good as American Pie 1. That's my recommendation. If you're going to watch American Pie, the first one. But even that's troublesome in the Me Too area, right? Because they're all watching that girl on the video, aren't they? There's the girl undressed.
Oh, yes.
That's not on, is it? I remember thinking at the time, oh, no, that's inappropriate. They'll probably get in trouble for that. I just watch it. I'm just watching that again just to check. Yeah, it is what I thought it was. Good. So... You're doing a new stand-up show in 2020, which we can talk about now, if you want.
Well, all that is because that was meant to be an extension
of
the
this
previous
one.
Show.
And you've got fed up at the other
but
previous
show. But
I don't
want to do it.
Okay.
So I'm just I'm working on new stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to do a greatest bits.
Okay.
To make up for not doing the show I was meant to do.
Okay.
But I'm writing, it'll probably be a mixture of the new stuff and just a chunk of each show. I'm quite paranoid that people think that's lazy, but there's just not enough time, I don't think. I'm trying to.
I did, but I also did a best-of show, admittedly. After,
you did do a best-of.
After 18 shows or something like that. I did, because some years you think, well, let's, I did it because I started doing stand-up like in the early 2000s, and then people sort of started paying attention in about 2010. So I thought, I did a couple of shows again, and I thought also there's loads of great routines that I'd like to roll out and see if I can do them better as well. 15 years on, so it was. I think there's no Jimmy does it, doesn't he? There's no harm in doing a best
right.
show. I think it's if it's labelled as that.
It is, and I just didn't want the. I just wanted to relax. I didn't want the pressure after the year.
Yeah.
I then didn't want more pressure of trying to,
Yeah. It's but people can come and see that. 2020, this is going out very soon, this podcast, so you can properly... It's very unusual for me. I'm months ahead.
And what I'm going to do is now I'm going to play the documentary One for the Road.
You should do.
That's all you it's going to be. And I'll just introduce
it. Just put it on in the interval. It's only like 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
Stick it on in the interval. Say, so go and have a drink of wheat or watch this baby.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah. You could sell little caterpillars to people after the show. Show what you're... It's so small. It's not even, you know... whatever you're imagining is smaller than what you're imagining. I guarantee. Well, it's been really lovely to talk to you. I will...
Has this been...
It's been good, I think.
Like the others?
Yeah, it's the same as Ian McMillan's one. It was exactly the same. It's a bit embarrassing. I think that's why the audience goes, it's talked about this a lot with Ian. But, you know, it's only the people who came last... Shit, who came last week. If you could... I'll ask you this question. Because I'm interested in it. I'm interested in your reaction. I think this is an interesting question. If you can have... You can go to any art gallery or museum in the world. It doesn't have to be anything swanky. Okay? Like, it can be a museum. You're allowed to take one item home with you out of everything that's in the museums and art galleries of the world. So it can be a painting, but it can be an artifact. It can be anything from anywhere. And it's yours. What one thing do you... I think museums should allow you to take one thing home every time you visit. But they don't. I would like that. I'd like the Sutton Hoo helmet. I've decided. I've changed my mind. You know, the big Sutton Hoo. I fucking love that helmet. Is there anything you'd like to take from a museum and own? Or an art gallery?
Maybe. Do you know? You know Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah. That's not a museum.
No.
Okay.
You know. There must be like a film museum.
Yeah, I bet there's something. What would you like from Ghostbusters 2?
You know, the painting of Viggo.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's going to be somewhere.
At the end,
yeah.
When Viggo has then turned into the four Ghostbusters holding the baby.
Okay. You'd like that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I reckon I can get you that. I reckon I can get you the original of that.
Yeah.
That's a very good choice.
Do you know the one I mean?
I do, yeah. Is there any specific reason? That's the one thing out of every work of art in the world that you would like to own. And Ghostbusters 2 as well, man. It's not even Ghostbusters, it's Ghostbusters 2.
Don't slag off Ghostbusters.
I'm not going to slag it off. I'm just saying it's not as good as Ghostbusters.
Yeah. All right, fine.
And his shit.
No, don't, please.
Better than any of the American Pie follow-ups.
Yes.
People don't like my American Pie material. I'm surprised they haven't. People haven't got more behind me on the American Pie. Is this something happening in Sheffield with American? Did one of the people from American Pie come here and do something terrible? Why have you brought that up? Remember when Stifler ran over all those kids in Sheffield? Just drove the Dodger into primary school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just because you said... Something like a painting, and I thought, painting.
That's your favourite painting.
That's my favourite painting. True.
Oh, man. You're weird.
I've got, yeah.
I like it. I love it. I really like it.
I've got a giant poster of Viggo.
Yeah.
In my flat.
Have you already? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would go nicely with that.
Yeah.
Do they not do a poster of the end version?
No, they don't do it. I know.
I reckon we can get... I honestly think £300, I reckon we could get that. I'm just honest, I don't think it'd be much. Might not have been that much. I'm going to get that for you.
Thank you.
Can make that my life's mission.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Over the backlog of this podcast,
yeah.
If you were to recommend one to me, which one would you recommend that I...
That's tricky, isn't it?
That I listen to.
It's like choosing my favourite child. It's my daughter.
Yeah.
by miles. I think... Oh, I mean, I think Bob Mortimer, maybe.
Oh, good. Sure.
Both... But Greg Davies' ones are very good, but both of them are good, so you know, I can't choose one of those above the other.
Okay, fine.
But Bob Mortimer. It's very good. And that's a recommendation for you at home as well, if you're listening. At home. And here as well. I mean, don't start listening to it now. That might be... There's some people watching your fucking documentary in row three. Going, oh, that's only good. That's only better than what we've got. Well, look, we're going to have to wrap up. But it's been... Thank you so much for talking so honestly and openly about that. Ladies and gentlemen...
Thank you for having me.
Massive round of applause. It's Sean Walsh!
Thank you.
See you in Hull. Come and see me in Hull. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sean Walsh, with three N's. Thank you to Pest for playing this music. I'm indebted to Sheffield City Hall for having me. They were lovely. Thanks for your fantastic support and welcome there. Brilliant staff as well. I love you all. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Stripe. Thank you to everyone at Acast, British Comedy Guide, and everywhere that you can download this beautiful podcast. I'm indebted to my series producer, Ben Walker. The tour manager and producer of this show is the amazing James Hingley, James Bullings, as I like to call him. And this is a Fuzz Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. For all your Christmas present needs, please head to GoFasterStripe.com. You can not only get all my DVDs and downloads that are available, including Fist of Fun on the one DVD with both series and lots of extras, and also all my stand-up shows and much, much more, plus my books, Emergency Questions, and other stuff like that. Plus there's brilliant DVDs from loads of other fantastic comedians. If you can support Go Faster Stripe, that would be a wonderful thing to do. They are managing to film brilliant comedy shows from people who wouldn't get DVD deals anywhere else. GoFasterStripe.com. You can buy all three Emergency Questions books for £20 while stocks last. You can also, of course, get Rahulastapa Trump Card Game. It's a playable game. Brilliant cartoons of my 30 or so favourite guests. Fun for all the family. There might be some swear words in there. Be careful. All right. Take care. I love you. Bye. Happy Christmas. Oh, not yet. Bye. Nearly, though, isn't it? Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.